They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
We have a bitey bitch and we have a hungry bitch.
100%. That's exactly what's happening. Going?
I'm well.
Good.
Yes. It's Sunday and we're recording and I'm happy.
Yay.
And you know what? I have my favorite wine, which makes it better.
I know. We're drinking some Pinot Gris today.
Yes, we are.
And it's not just any Pinot Gris.
Yeah, don't lump it into the
I'm
rest
sorry.
Of them.
I'm so sorry.
How dare you? Do you want to take that back?
We are drinking the best Pinot Gris.
Thank you.
You're
Thank you very much. if anybody wants to know what the best Pinot Grigio out there is.
Tell everyone, please.
It is called. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for this?
I'm so ready.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
It's called Santa Margarita.
It's fantastic.
I love it.
It's so good.
It's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's refreshing.
And it's not like a dry Pinot Grigio.
No.
It's not like a super sweet one either.
No.
It's a good kind of middle of the road, yummy.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It is. It is. I love it. It's my favorite. Is that too much?
No, I liked it. I think everyone's convinced they're going to go buy some now.
They should.
And Santa Margarita, if you want to sponsor us, that's good too. We are totally in support of that.
Absolutely. So what did we watch this week?
Well, we're continuing our series of Midnight Mass.
Mm-hmm.
So last week we had episodes 1 and 2.
Yes.
And now we're going to talk about episode 3.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Should I give like a quick IMDb for it again?
Sure.
Courtney, would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Okay.
Why not? An isolated island community experiences miraculous events and frightening omens after the arrival of a charismatic, mysterious young priest. All of that is correct.
Yeah, it is true. Okay, I binged the last one. I didn't really. Okay, when you say binge, because.
Are you going to say Netflix won and got you to binge episodes? Okay. Is that what you're saying?
Once. Because I turn it off every single time when it tries to get me to do the next episode.
To prove a point.
Right. Netflix can't control me.
They can't. It controls me.
But I had some time, so I did 6 and 7 together.
Mm.
I did, because I wanted to know. I was like, I've already done 6, so why not do 7?
I haven't finished it yet. I finished through 5. I have to do 6 and 7.
Okay.
But every episode leaves on a cliffhanger, so you're like, God, I got to watch the next one. Everyone does. They all end in cliffhangers.
I know.
Ugh. Okay, before we get into it, should we remind our friends of a couple of things?
Of course we should.
TipsyPod.com. Guys, live there.
Is it on your phone right now?
Mine.
Is it pulled up?
It should be.
Okay, great.
Because if it was pulled up, you'd be able to see we had a bunch of interesting stuff on there. You can buy Tipsy Pod swag if you want. You can get us a glass of wine from buymeacoffee.com. It's $3. And $1 of that goes to the puppies and the kitties of the Humane Society. And if we've told you once, we've told you twice. We love to help the puppies and the kitties.
For 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, over and over again, guys. We also have a Patreon.
Oh my gosh, I think we harmonized. Did we harmonize?
Did we just automatically know that you were going to go higher and I went lower?
That
was weird.
I think that really surprised everybody.
I think we hang out a lot.
I'm going to have to hear that back. Can we hear it back again? Can we?
Patreon.
Okay,
well. that was pretty good.
That was impressive.
But there are 3 different tiers on the Patreon. Find the one that works the best for you. But you get all types of cool shit on there. You can get ad-free episodes. You get episodes a day before anybody else. You get exclusive content. As you guys noticed on our most recent feed, we did an interview with the very funny Ricky Glore.
Oh my God, he's fantastic.
We had so much fun talking to him.
Yeah.
But the entire full interview is in a video on our Patreon. And it's like 1.5 hours long and it's fucking ridiculous and hysterical. And we had so much fun with him.
If you want to see all 3 of our beautiful faces,
uh-huh.
Get on there.
And have a good laugh. Yeah. You're welcome.
Because I mean, the animation and the facial expressions, it just
makes it.
It really does.
Mm-hmm. Go check it out. And then as a patron, you guys can recommend movies for us to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can vote on movies for us to watch. You get shout outs.
And I mean, I think we need Stephanie to watch a few more scary movies. Anybody with me? Anybody?
Crickets? No? Okay. So check it out. And also, we're on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. Check us out on there. Follow, subscribe, rate and review. 5 stars, guys. Come on.
We want everybody to find us.
Yes.
Get on there. That's the best way for people to do that.
Absolutely. All right. Should we hop in?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want a lightning round recap?
Oh my God, please give it to me because the last time you did this, I was floored.
I'm prepared.
My jaw was on the floor. Okay, ready?
Okay, so this is a lightning round recap of episode 2.
Okay.
Okay. So the sheriff is walking along the beach and he sees this whole crazy cat situation along the whole shoreline. The mayor interrupts him to talk about this weird cat situation, but he's also like creepy racist and saying nonsense and I really just don't like it. So the sheriff decides to have a crazy cat bonfire and burn all these cats. There's an entire crockpot luck situation festival happening at the island. And then Father Paul tells Riley that he wants to open an AA charter on the island. That sounds fucking awkward. At that same festival, Drunk Joe, his poor dog gets poisoned and dies in front of everybody. It has to be that Brady bitch. Oh, I hate her. Riley and Father talk about this AA meeting and they end up having it and it's only the two of them and it's super fucking awkward. They go back and forth about religion, of course, which is super awkward to listen to too. And then the next day at Mass, Father goes to give Lisa, the girl in the wheelchair, her communion, but then refuses to get close to her and tells her to get up and walk, and she walks, and the entire town is shook. Everybody's freaking out, and that's how episode 2 ends.
That is my most favorite thing of this entire thing. I love your recaps. They're my favorite. Do it again. Oh, you will, the next episode.
Okay. You're like, dance, monkey, do it again. Oh, I'm ready for episode 3 to do a recap for episode 4. I'm excited. Let's do this.
Oh, God. So fantastic. Okay. So are we ready to get started?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So we're going to start episode 3.
Yep.
It's called Proverbs.
Yes.
Okay. So Father Paul is in the church and just kind of casually walking around. There's nobody in the church.
He's wearing jeans. He's
by himself.
Casual day.
Yeah. He's just walking around, hands in his pockets. Mm-hmm. He like puts a few things back on the shelves, kind of rearranges some stuff.
Yes.
He goes into the confessional, sits mm-hmm. down, and says that he is sinned.
Yes.
I'm like, uh-oh, what did we sinned about?
Like, we kind of knew that, though.
Oh, well, yeah. We could feel it coming.
But definitely give us more detail, please.
Because we don't know yet. We know you sinned.
Come on, tell us everything.
So he says the next morning he's planning on lying to the parish yes. about Monsignor Pruitt. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are we lying about?
Tell us more.
Do tell. All right. So then we flash back to Monsignor getting lost in Jerusalem. So he's on this trip that he was on that he never came back from.
Yes.
He's having to be redirected by others.
Yeah.
That he, like, because he keeps getting lost.
He gets lost. He has like really bad dementia.
Yes.
And on this trip, he just keeps losing his bearings and people had to keep like corralling him back to the group.
Yeah. So yeah. Apparently he was a lot sicker than anybody ever knew.
Yeah, apparently. Okay.
So Father Paul continues to narrate the scene mm-hmm. as Monsignor kind of walks through his time there. And he goes on to explain that he has advanced dementia. Mm-hmm. And then we see Monsignor turn around from a wall that he's been praying at. And then he realizes that he doesn't know where he's at and then yeah. starts crying.
It's really sad.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's really sad. I mean, yeah. to have dementia and to be in some place that you don't even know or nobody that cares
about
you.
Because he probably doesn't even remember why he went there or where he is.
No.
And now he's just at a random location with all these people, he has no idea what's happening and he's just scared.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It is sad. Mm-hmm. So Father Paul says that Monsignor had stayed his allotted time on earth, but he was going to tell the parish that he was recovering on the mainland. Yeah. He says he's going to tell them that, you know, this lie is for their benefit so that when it starts, I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. They'll be ready for the miracles to come.
I am going to tell them this lie for their benefit so that when it starts, they'll be ready for what's to come, for the miracles that are to come.
Yeah.
Okay. At this point, when I'm watching everything, I don't feel like when he's talking about it, when it starts,
yeah.
I don't feel like the it is going to be a good thing.
No. What bothers me about everything with Father Paul is that, like, nothing ever feels like it's for the parish's benefit.
No.
It's just for his benefit or to cover up his lies or whatever. So he can continue these whole facade about it's for their benefit and they'll be ready for the miracle when it happens. And I'm like, no, it's just for you. Like, you're just brainwashing these poor people.
Correct.
To cover up your lies.
Yeah. Father Paul.
Come on.
Get together. So we flash back to when Lisa was getting up and walking to Father Paul in communion.
Yeah.
It's all in slow motion. Miss Keene is so emotional. Everybody's emotional. Mm-hmm. And then she sees him, Father Paul, go into the back room. And he's like crouched over in pain. He looks really sick.
Like his stomach is in pain.
Yeah.
He's coughing. Mm-hmm.
Runs out of the church, runs to his house that's in the back of this church.
Yeah.
And Miss Keene runs after him.
Of course.
Okay. So Father Paul is throwing up blood, and Miss Keene comes in, asks if he needs a doctor. And he's like, no, I don't need a doctor. Mm-hmm. She sees there's something on the wall that catches her eye, and she like catches her breath. Mm-hmm. And then she turns around, looks at Father Paul in the bathroom doorway. He's like kind of standing there. And I'm like, what the fuck did she just see?
Right, because they don't show us what she saw on the wall.
We're like on the wall, and she's like staring at us.
Yeah. And I'm like, what is she looking at?
So we are now at Dr. Sarah's office, and she's checking on the knee reflexes of Lisa. Mm-hmm. Her parents said that it was a miracle. Yeah. And Dr. Sarah asks questions, kind of gives her a cane to walk with. Mm-hmm. And then Sarah wants them to go to the mainland to do some more testing to kind of figure out what's going on. And they just say, you know, they can't afford it because they
put
all their money.
It's such bullshit. Yeah. It's such bullshit because they said they spent all of their money trying to like help her and go to all these doctors when the accident first happened.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, well, but Lisa, you know, we're not saying that we can't spend any more money on you. But then the mayor, he says that.
And we're grateful. It feels wrong, doesn't it? To interrogate a miracle, second guess a gift from God.
And I'm like, but it does if it's your daughter's health and safety. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Apparently, she's cured, mm-hmm. and she can walk again, and that's really all they care about.
Because Dr. Sarah is not a religious person.
No.
Everybody on this island is very, very Catholic. She is not a religious person at all. So when they
Even her mother. Her mother is like a...
very religious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when they keep talking to her about these miracles, she's like, that's great and all, but you should definitely go see a doctor.
Just to make sure.
Just double check. Second opinion, you know? No, yeah. So, yeah, it was awkward.
Well, she goes into her house because, again, her office is attached to her house.
Right.
She goes into her house, finds her mother. She's not in bed because her bed is now in the living room.
Yep.
And she has wandered off. She hears noises upstairs and she finds her mother in her old bedroom.
Because in the previous episode, her mom kept trying to climb the stairs, but she is so frail and she has dementia also.
Yeah.
And she really can't make it up the stairs. So
safely.
Sarah, yes. So Sarah had to keep corralling her down the stairs to go back to her new room in the living room. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now she's made it up the stairs.
Right. She's like, I don't know how the fuck I'm going to get you down.
Right.
I don't know.
Why are you even up here?
I don't know. You need an acorn lift. You need to install one of those
stairs.
Yeah. I don't see a problem with that. If she wants to go upstairs, let her go upstairs safely.
Yeah.
Okay. No? Okay. Well, it's just an idea. Okay. So back at Father Paul's house, Miss Keene is fighting off all the townspeople who are sick. They're at the front of Father Paul's house. Mm-hmm. They're wanting this miracle that, you know, Lisa got healed by a miracle. So they want their family members to be healed as well.
Sure.
And Mrs. Keene's like, it doesn't work this way.
Right. She's got an answer for everything.
No. She begins to pray with them. Mm-hmm. And then Father Paul is inside kind of looking out of the house through the window.
Yep.
And just kind of accepting it. He's not going out to help or anything like that.
He doesn't need to. Brady Bitch has got under control.
True. Brady Bitch. I just can't get used to it.
I just hate her.
I know. I should start calling her Beverly or Bev.
Bev.
They call Bev her Bev
the Brady Bitch.
You know what?
Triple B.
Beverly is kind of a nice name for her. I think Bev is probably right.
Bev.
It's a little bit more harsh.
Yeah. She's real rough.
We should call her, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll improvise.
Yeah. So at Riley's AA meeting.
You mean the incredibly awkward AA meeting?
Yeah, you're right.
Because what AA meeting only has two people and only one of them is the addict?
And it's in a rec center and there's literally nothing in this rec center.
They're almost sitting knee to knee. Like they're sitting in these folding chairs facing each other and their kneecaps are almost touching. It's so uncomfortable to watch.
They are. And I mean, Riley, he accepts it though. Yeah. I mean, he does well. He's just, you know, I think he calls it out like it is awkward. So he's just like, I'm just whatever.
And Father Paul tries to make it normal with like a table with coffee on it. Like, this is how it's supposed to be. Like, it's only two of us, dude. This is weird.
It's
like,
weird. It's Once so you go into a smaller room, it's just such a big room. Anyways. Yeah, okay.
It's awkward.
So he's in his AA meeting and Riley wants to talk about the miracle. He's like, are we going to talk about the elephant in the room here?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to Lisa and her being able to walk again? And Riley's trying to rationalize everything
because he's like, skeptical.
Of course he is. Mm-hmm. He's like, this whole miracle thing, come on.
Yeah,
I need to know, like, what did you do? How did you know?
Right, because he even says that for his mind to rationalize things, he can, in his brain, it can make sense to him that over time her body can try to heal itself.
Correct.
And for her to be in this wheelchair and maybe not know that she can move her legs wouldn't be an unbelievable thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's confusing him, though, and what he can't wrap his mind around is how Father would have known
Correct.
That she could move, because he went over to her, And when she didn't get up at first, he walked backwards up the stairs toward the altar and would refuse to give her communion. Until she got up out of her wheelchair. So he's like, how did you know? That's what I can't rationalize.
You had to know. You had to know that she could walk. I mean, you went back up the stairs. You beckoned her. If she hadn't, what would have happened to you? What would this community have thought of you if she hadn't?
Well, but she did.
And you had to know that.
Okay. What are you asking?
I'm asking, how did you know that?
And Father's like, was an answer for everything. He's like, I don't have an answer that's going to satisfy you.
No. Well, because Riley wants to know why. Like, yeah. How did he know?
Because everything else makes sense except for all of a sudden you just know she can walk again?
Right.
That makes no sense. Because who knows how long she's been in that wheelchair. And all of a sudden now she can walk?
Oh, I know. Okay. Come on now. Mm-hmm. Well, he says he could feel it. As she passed wheeled by him in the church, he knew that she could get up and walk. Okay. So Warren and Lisa are walking down the road together to school. She's got her cane. The neighbors are staring, kind of waving as they're passing. And then Warren asks to carry her backpack for her.
He's so sweet. He's got such a cute little crush on her.
He does. It's sweet. They're really cute. Mm-hmm. In this entire thing, I didn't see any kind of like, no kissing.
No.
No.
It's just like a cute little crush.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's really cute. Okay. So that night, Annie and Ed are hanging out in the living room together. Mm-hmm. Ed gets up and puts on a record on his record player. He kind of grabs his back and it looks like it doesn't hurt him anymore because he's had a bad back for a while, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And then he grabs Annie, who's reading a book on the couch, and pulls her up and they start dancing.
It's really cute.
It's so cute.
It's really cute.
You can see how much in love they are. Uh-huh. Oh, no. So sweet. So then this whole montage starts.
I had montage in my notes too.
Yeah. So we see Warren sleeping and then Lisa tapping on his window or throwing something at his window to wake him up. She kind of does this little dance outside of his window and like calls him out to sneak out together with her. And then Riley is also in bed, but he's sitting up reading a book and he like looks over and sees this dead girl that he killed.
Of course.
With the glass face. And then he walks over to see Erin, who's sitting on her front porch at her house. So they talk and they're laughing together. Super cute. And then Lisa and Warren are making out on the boat.
So cute.
So the next day at church, the whole town is there.
It's packed.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has heard of this miracle that has happened to Lisa.
They're all believers now.
They all want to be a part of it. Okay. So Father Paul gives out communion, including to Sarah's mom at her house.
Yes.
So because
he's visited her a couple of times and he always brings her like the blood of Christ, the wine for her to drink.
Correct.
And I'm like, what is in this wine?
I know. Ooh. Every single time.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, all right. So we see Lisa and Miss Keene handing out flyers about this miracle that has happened, trying to get them to come to the church. Mm-hmm. And then we see Annie and Ed are still dancing. Riley is helping Erin put a crib together, still in the montage. And then back at church, Warren is filling up the crew. I think he said cruets. It's kind of like
a carafe.
A carafe.
Cruet. I don't know. Okay. I called it a carafe too because I don't know if it has a different name, if it's in a church or not, but it looks like a carafe to
me. This is the only time I wrote cruets because I knew that it's a carafe because it looks like a carafe.
It does.
So, and just because, so it's why does it need to have a different name if it's in church? Why does it got to have a different
name? It's a glass carafe.
I don't have a glass carafe. Mine are plastic.
Me too. And I use it for mimosas.
No judgment. You just let me know when you want me to come over.
Okay.
And
we'll have the mimosas in my carafe. Yeah. I have three of them. It's fine. Because what if you want different flavored mimosas?
Of course.
That's why I have three.
It's fine. Why, there's no reason why you should deny yourself a different flavor of mimosa.
100%.
Ever.
Variety is great.
Okay. So he asks Father Paul if he has any more because there's so many people in the church now that he's run out.
The carafe is not full anymore.
It is not. Mm-hmm. So Father says he will take care of it. Just go ahead and go out there, start the thing. And then Warren comes back in after he realizes that one of the
incense thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't lit. So he goes back in. And then Father Paul is filling up one of these carafes with like a wine or something in his flask.
Yeah. He's taking his flask and like dumping it into the carafe. And it was definitely sketchy.
Yeah. Warren didn't really like it. It's not that he didn't like it. He didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah. He was sketched out by it for sure.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Father goes into his sermon. It starts and he starts talking about eternity and that God's gifts are tangible. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is there to get an answer of God's will and how it's shaped the world, he can't help them.
Yeah.
What he can do is tell them that God gives them mysteries. Sometimes miracles.
Okay.
But most of the time, mysteries. Not miracles. Basically. And I was like, I don't know what that means. I mean,
he's basically like, hey, stop asking me for miracles, okay? Just,
you know what? I'm gonna
allow the mystery to exist and stop asking me to fix everybody.
He's like, you know what? I'll fix a couple people every now and then, but I'm going to give you more mysteries than anything.
Keep you on your toes.
I want to make you think about it. Just think about it. So as adults, we don't like mysteries. He kind of goes on to say, Father Paul starts to get real dizzy.
Yeah, sweaty.
He gets real sweaty, real dizzy. Miss Keene about jumps out of her seat to help.
Oh my God.
Because she is like at his beck and call every 5 seconds.
100%.
He tells them that miracles are happening on Crockett Island. Rebirth, second chances. All of this happens. And then he passes out.
Yeah. He like collapses at the altar and just hits the ground.
He does. That was really good acting.
It was a hard hit. Yeah.
They, of course, called Dr. Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And then back at the confessional.
Yeah, so flashback to him and his confessional. Little confessional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Father talks about Saul from the Bible and how he was a persecutor of Christians and an enemy of the church.
Okay.
So Father Paul is all of a sudden blinded by the light.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became a believer of Christ who became Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I said, is he Apostle Paul?
Mm.
Because his name is Paul.
Uh-huh.
Are we figuring it out right now?
Right. Or is it just a namesake? We don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. I think he is.
I think he is. Okay. So he talks about the last time that Monsignor wandered away from the group and into this desert.
Yeah.
No one noticed. And then a horrible sandstorm took him out.
Of course.
He saw like a darkness in the sand, which was old ruins.
Yeah.
He sought shelter there. And then
it's like a weird, ended up being like a weird cave kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as he tells the story, the bright light shines on him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
cool transition.
I think it was really cool.
Because he's telling this whole like passionate story and he's talking about the light. And then we see this light shine right on him and it kind of blinds him and it transitions to Dr. Sarah checking on him, like putting a flashlight in his eye, checking him. She ends up just saying that he's very dehydrated. And I'm like, okay, great job, Sarah. And she's like, you just have to keep drinking water. And I'm like, okay.
Like, she's like, it's probably just a virus. Just get some rest, drink some water. You'll be fine.
Yeah. And then Father Paul says some nice things to her about him being proud of her, whatever. It makes her kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She's like, thanks. But of course, the whole time, Bev the Brady bitch is there. Like,
she's always there.
By his side. Always.
Always there.
Boundaries, girl.
She has
boundaries.
Well, I would think that he would want the boundaries, but he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
He just accepts it.
Yeah.
Like, he's okay with it.
I guess. But
yeah. Bev, go home. Just go home.
Just leave us alone, Bev.
God. All right. So the sheriff is making lunch at his house for him and Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff sees Ollie. He has an open backpack on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
He opens it and he sees that there's a Bible inside.
Uh-huh.
And then you can see the wheels start turning on how he's going to address this with his son.
Yep.
Because that is not their religion.
Right.
Okay. So Joe is getting a knock on the door now.
At his trailer.
At his trailer, watching TV. He gets all pissy because whoever's knocking on the door just keeps knocking on it.
Yeah. And they're interrupting him. He's drinking a beer and watching TV.
Yeah. So he opens the door. He's kind of pissed. Freaks out when Lisa just comes waltzing in his house.
Mm-hmm.
She turns the TV off, looks at the gun on the wall, and asks if this is the one. Like, is this the one that you shot me with?
Okay, I have a lot of mixed feelings.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I think it's very brave of her to confront him.
Right.
But I feel like it was really aggressive. Like, okay, because basically what happens is she walks in and she tells him, I mean, Joe is shook. He is hysterically crying
that
she's walking in front of him. And obviously Joe is just filled with guilt for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it was some type of, I'm sure he was drunk. It was an accident. She tells what happens from her perspective, but I'm sure the amount that he drinks is to cover that up.
Of course.
So she starts telling him that her and her dad were out for like this evening walk. It was the only time that the two of them had together and he would tell her stories. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, she hears this clap of thunder and she didn't realize anything happened until her dad was screaming.
Right.
And she was all of a sudden realized she couldn't feel her legs.
Yeah.
So she starts like drilling him.
You stole from me not just who I was, but who I could have been. You stole from me things I didn't even have yet. You reached through time, Joe Colley. You reached through time and you stole.
He's like tearing up hardcore.
So just upset.
Yes.
He is like basically beside himself. And then she's going through this whole tangent about how he stole from her. And I get it. I get the anger 1,000%. But it's just a lot for me. It's a lot. It's like, I get why she's pissed. And I think it's probably a long overdue
right.
confronting him. I mean, she ends up saying, you know, after she completely unloads on him, that even though she hates him and she's mad, mm-hmm. she forgives him. And then she starts talking to him about what a proverb is because she read this in the Bible and God says he forgives people. And if God can forgive Joe, then she can too.
Correct.
And I was just like, this is so heavy. And I actually felt bad for Joe in this situation.
I kind of teared up for Joe because I just...
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
And I get what he did was terrible. And the same thing with like Riley, what happened to him, it doesn't eliminate what they did, but... obviously he lives with this guilt every day, and for her to like come in that hard, yeah. it was uncomfortable to watch.
Well, I obviously it was like real emotion that was happening. Mm-hmm. So she this has probably been built up for her for this years. Long. So I mean, you never know how people are going to sure. respond, you know, to the stress and everything like that. And
she handled herself very well.
She did. Mm-hmm. Right. She walked in there guns blazing. Yes. I think it was just, I don't think she knew how he was going to react. So she just felt like she just needed to get it all out.
Unload, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I felt bad for both of them.
It was a lot. I know part of me was like, good for her for being confident and just being like, here's how I fucking feel about the right. situation. But then I just, my super sensitive side was like, poor Joe.
Well, I think it was because so Joe bad. Was so emotional about it. Yes. That's probably where you were torn.
Oh, I felt so bad for him. Poor guy.
Little Joe.
And it's hard because his character is a decent person who has just fallen on some really unfortunate times.
Yes.
And we find out more about Joe later on, but he's had these series of unfortunate events that have just made him become this alcoholic that he is to just cope with his, or not cope with his feelings.
Correct.
And yeah. it's sad.
I know.
Poor guy.
Well, he didn't have any kind of like outlet to talk about it or 100%. Help him.
And he's got no one on the island.
Everybody was just like outcasting him.
100%, yeah.
So now at the school, the parents are crammed into one of these classrooms. Miss Keene starts off by saying that none of the curriculum will be changed, not to worry. And I'm thinking, what the fuck are we here for?
Ugh.
Okay, so the sheriff says, he raises his hand, he's like, that's not the issue. And Miss Keene just keeps cutting him off.
God, I hate her. She's so nasty to the sheriff.
She talks in circles and talks in mm-hmm. scripture, and it's just like, shut up. Yeah. Just for 5 seconds, 100%. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on to say that he's not offended that his son is interested in the Bible. Because obviously this conversation is about the Bible yep. and them sending Bibles home with all of the kids that yeah, are in school.
Yeah, because apparently every kid's getting a Bible and they're talking about scripture in school.
It's a public school.
And that's the sheriff's point because
right.
the sheriff is a very open-minded, well-rounded person as he comes off as in the show.
Yes.
And he is very respectful to everybody. Bev the Brady Bitch is not.
No.
She is so condescending, especially toward the sheriff. She is so nasty to him, probably because of their difference in religion, and he's not going to their side.
Of course, he's Muslim. So yeah. of course,
and he's refusing to do anything that they do.
Yes.
So his only point was he is more than happy with his son learning about a different religion because he starts talking about how they believe in God too and the overlap in their religions. And he's going through this whole detailed explanation, which the people in the town were like, oh, okay, that sounds cool.
Right.
His only point was, this is a public school. This is not the place to be reading Bible scripture
correct.
In class if it's a public school. And then as the town people start being like, oh, that's an interesting point, Bev hops right in, interrupts him, and goes on this fucking tangent, this condescending tangent
yeah.
to just corral the village people. The village people. The village people.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
To just corral them back to her side. And you can see them kind of start turning on the sheriff a little bit and go back toward her side. Even though the whole time Erin is like agreeing with, she's like, I agree with him.
She's rolling her eyes the entire
right,
time.
Because she keeps telling Bev, that's not the point he's making. That's not his concern. And she's trying to fight for the side of the sheriff, but it doesn't fucking matter.
No,
it doesn't matter at all.
Well, because she keeps being cut off too by Miss Kearns. Because she's
God,
just
I hate her.
Brady bitch, whatever you want to call her. mm-hmm. Okay, so she has some serious word vomit, obviously.
Yeah.
Goes on to say that he is responsible for observing the community and they are in the mindset of like a full-blown religious revival. So he needs to get on board or go.
Or shut the fuck up, basically.
Yeah. Basically. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the room claps except for Erin and the sheriff.
Yep.
Because Aaron's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, shut up.
Right.
Anyways, so after the meeting is over, Erin is walking with Riley and talks about Miss Kern and all the bullshit that she's spewing and how she's self-righteous and all of this, and that she doesn't agree with any of it.
Yeah.
So she asks how he is, and he said that he is writing a lot of letters to everybody that he's hurt to kind of do his self-reflection and things like that. I don't think he's supposed to be sending them out. I think he's just writing them
to kind of say openly like what he would say to them.
Correct, because what he might say is hurtful.
Yeah.
And he may not mean it, but that's kind of how he feels.
Sure.
Just to kind of get it out. Okay. So Sarah is going in to give her mother a bath.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother is standing at the window, and she tells Sarah that she doesn't know where she's been.
Mm-hmm.
It was someplace dark.
Uh-huh.
And she says that she just woke up, and here she is.
Yeah.
And there's Sarah.
And she remembers like who her daughter is, because she couldn't remember who Sarah was. She had no idea what her husband's name was. And all of a sudden now she's like, I remember. Yeah. I know who I am. I know where I'm at.
And the funny thing was, Sarah's embracing her mother. She asked, she's like, when did you move into the living room?
And I was why have I been here?
That's so funny.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She's so cute. Okay, so Riley goes into the rec center to meet Father Paul for their weekly AA meeting.
Uh-huh.
He apologizes for being late and then sees Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So Father Paul, he told Riley that it would eventually catch on. Now they're going to be a trio.
Now they're a trio.
Isn't that cute?
Still awkward, but yes.
I mean, there's three of them now.
Good for Joe.
Like, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's you know.
I have him in my notes as drunk Joe, and now he's evolved into not so drunk Joe.
You have him as not so drunk Joe. Uh-huh. That's a lot of words.
But it makes me laugh, so I do it.
You know, it's really about the humor. It's really about the humor. And so as the meeting starts, Father Paul asks Riley to give Joe some advice.
Yeah.
Riley backs down and says that he doesn't think he's the one in the position to be able to, like, give him some, you know, words of wisdom.
Understandable.
Father Paul calls him out and says that that is bullshit and that he can help.
Yeah.
And so Riley gives his words of wisdom that being there is the first step, that he's proud of him and things like that.
Sure.
Okay. As Joe and Riley leave after the meeting, Father Paul falls to the ground coughing.
Yeah, holding his stomach again like he's in pain.
He's in pain. So he's been doing that a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means, but he's...
I don't know. It was not good.
He's not well.
Uh-uh.
Joe and Riley walk down the road just talking. Joe was talking to him about never thinking that he would ever step foot into the rec center.
Yeah.
That he really enjoyed the conversation and to never assume anything.
Mm-hmm.
So Riley says that he was glad Joe, you know, came to the AA meeting.
Yeah.
And Joe has this heartfelt moment kind of talking about his sister, that his sister had died like a couple of weeks ago. And
because she left the island.
She did. She left the island.
Mm-hmm. And she wanted him to leave, but there was nothing for him. He just was a fisherman and he's like, I'm just going to stay here. But she did leave the island, and he never went to go visit her.
No, he never did. Mm-hmm. And then she ended up dying, and then he didn't even go to, like, her funeral.
Yeah, and he has major regret for not leaving the island, at least when she died, to go see her. But he couldn't, like, bring herself, because he felt so much guilt again for not seeing her, but when she was alive.
Oh, my God. So it's just adding to the drinking.
Uh-huh.
Poor dude.
Mm-hmm.
So that night, when the sheriff and Ali are praying in this bedroom, they are finished, and then Ali told his dad that he wanted to go to St. Patrick's Church with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
His dad automatically says no. He's like, no, you're not doing that. That's not your religion. Ali says that he has never, you know, made his own decisions for himself. His dad has always made those decisions for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff gets very upset and says they can just talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. Because Ali's appeal to the church is for the miracles that are happening.
Correct.
And that pisses off the sheriff a lot, too, because he says it's not a miracle. It's a misdiagnosis for Lisa.
Right.
And he gets upset because we find out that his wife, Ollie's mom, died of cancer. And he was basically saying that if miracles were a thing, then God would help a woman who has a young child who is in so much pain and suffering.
Yeah, like, why didn't he help her if Lisa's going to get help?
Right. So he's like, it just doesn't work in that way. So no, it wasn't a miracle. It was a misdiagnosis. So once he says, yeah, we're done, we're going to talk about it in the morning, Ali gets in bed and he goes to turn off the lamp on the nightstand.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Oh, I hate it.
What happened, Stephanie?
Ooh, okay. So he turns off the lamp on the nightstand and it's right next to the bedroom window. And there's a creepy ass face with glowing eyeballs staring at him. It made me jump. I was like, God damn it. And the sheriff saw it and he jumped and like yelled. And Ali was like, what? What happened? And he's like, I think I'm just seeing things.
Yeah, it's like
and
gone the next time
he brushed it off.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he looks out the window. Nothing's there. But those creepy eyes were. I saw them.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of glowing eyes in this thing.
Ugh, I hate the eyes. Ugh. So he just is satisfied with thinking he hallucinated and just leaves the room?
I guess because why would there be a demonic anything outside or an...
As a cop, don't you investigate? Like, don't you, like, see something outside a window and check it out?
I guess maybe he just thought he was crazy. Because why would there be something on the island? I mean, he knows everybody, right?
That's true. Maybe he thought his eyes were messing with him from the light. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. Nope.
All right, Miss Keene and Lisa's parents are having a meeting about the community dinner to celebrate Father Paul, and that the parents could, like, give the address.
Yeah, and Joe is there fixing the sink. This is at the father's house. So he's under the cabinet, like, fixing this sink.
Right.
And freaking Bev is so rude to him, like, asking him when he's going to be done.
Right.
I'm like, can you just let him do his job and fix the damn sink and chill out?
She always has something to say.
Oh, she's so annoying. Okay. I'm like, why don't the three of you just plan your freaking feast and let him do his part, okay? Back off. She's so annoying.
And then Father Paul walks in the door. He immediately collapses.
Hits the fucking ground.
Yeah. He starts, like, convulsing, spewing blood.
No one does anything.
No.
He's, okay, he is literally on his back, seizuring, foaming and looking at, and they all just go, and they just stare at him. They don't do anything. I'm like, can you at least roll him on his side?
Yeah.
He's going to choke on his vomit. Can you at least roll him over? They're like, oh no.
Oh, they didn't.
Oh no. What is going to happen?
They just did. They just sat there and stared at him.
All four of them just stood around him and were like,
Okay. Well, he looks real dead.
His eyes are literally full of blood.
Yeah. He looks real dead.
Not good.
Not good. All right. So now we're back in the ruins with Monsignor in the sandstorm, whatever. He lights a match to see, like, these glowing eyes are, like, down this dark hallway.
Oh, God, I fucking hate it.
Oh, I know.
I fucking hate it. I know. And of course it made me crazy that he has a fucking book of matches. Where did he get these matches from? He's wandering around the damn desert by himself.
I don't know.
Why would this man with dementia have a box of matches?
I guess that's just the way to go.
He just has a shit ton of matches.
I don't know. How do they stay good? Because I would think that you'd have to keep them dry.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously in your desert because it's, you know, don't have to worry about
rain. It's
pretty
dry, yeah.
But I mean, come on.
Why does he have them?
I don't know.
And he looked real sweaty. Some of them have to be wet. I don't know. It's gross. But yeah, he sees these glowing eyes and he freaks out and he drops the match. But there was like two sets of them, right? There was like four eyes.
Yeah.
And he drops the match and I was like, oh, damn it. And he lights it again and looks down the same tunnel and there's only one set of eyes now.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Oh, well.
I don't like it. What?
Are you okay?
Oh, I hated this part. Where he's at in this cave thing, there's like a couple of tunnels off of wherever he is.
Uh-huh.
And he can't see down there at all.
No, he can't. He can hear like these like metal noises happening.
Like rustling and stuff.
He kind of panics. He lights another match. Ugh. And then this bald winged angel thing jumps
on him. You know what I called it?
What?
I said a weird wing bitey demon angel thing.
Oh, okay.
And then I also referred to it as a weird cave angel at one point.
A cave angel?
But I think I still refer to it as an evil cave angel.
I mean, hey, whatever you want to call it, he's
because
creepy.
It's not a cute angel. Because we are meant to believe that angels are these just
angelic,
beautiful, angelic beings.
White robes with
innocent
tiaras.
Like, 100%. This bitch has got this like freaking beak-like nose face.
Yeah.
Bald, I'm assuming naked, creepy ass, like dinosaur looking wings.
We don't see it naked though.
But we only see its like chest.
Chest, not the waist down.
I just assumed it didn't have clothes because why would it have clothes if it was in a cave?
It wouldn't.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
And he's got these long ass fingers with these crazy, dirty looking, gross talons on them.
True.
And I am so uninterested in any of that.
Well, he makes his appearance throughout this entire whole series.
Ugh, I yelled when he first showed up because when Monsignor lights the match, this bitch is in his face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're almost nose to nose. I went, ah! Like, oh, it got me.
Well, he is a bitey bitch.
He's a super bitey bitch.
Yeah.
Because he attacks Monsignor.
Yeah, and he likes the left side of the neck.
He's kind of a vampire, too. A
little bit.
Yeah.
He likes the people's left side of the neck. I think that's maybe he's left-handed.
Maybe it's because like, that's where the heart is.
I don't know.
Like it's just because it's like, I don't know. You can't see my gestures, but just pretend I'm making weird gestures.
Okay. So she's always making weird gestures. Just FYI for everybody.
So this creepy evil demon angel thing attacks Monsignor and starts biting his neck and basically sucking his blood like a weird evil vampire thing.
Basically.
And Monsignor is dying there while his blood is being sucked out of his neck.
Uh-huh. That's true.
And then when the evil thing stops, we hear Monsignor like praying, mumbling to himself. Uh-huh. And then the angel takes his crazy talon, slits his own wrist, puts his wrist over Monsignor's mouth
and has him drink his blood,
feeding him his blood.
Yes.
And Monsignor is gulping it up.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Like, he a hungry bitch and he is drinking it.
We have a bitey bitch and we have a hungry bitch.
100%. That's exactly what's happening.
All right, so the next day in the ruins, the sandstorm has stopped.
Yeah, of course.
Monsignor wakes up, walks towards the entrance of this ruins, and he finds that he is young again.
You know who it is, guys?
Who is it, Stephanie?
It's Father Paul! Father Paul and Monsignor Pruitt are the same person.
Yes, that's true. All of that is true.
When he wakes up in the cave, he's Father Paul, but real beardy. He's got a big, bushy beard on his face.
Okay, so behind him was the angel of the Lord, who was afraid of the light. He bowed down to this angel, and then the angel follows him, and he has to, like, hide him. Like, everywhere that Monsignor goes, now that this angel is with him, but he has to hide him.
But he also sounded kind of afraid of this angel, because he also said he can't escape it. Like, everywhere he goes, that angel follows him and finds him.
Yeah.
But I guess they're, like, weirdly BFFs now because they're, like, inseparable. And that sounds awful.
They are BFFs.
Ugh.
He's a scary thing to
have as a BFF. He's literally a blood-sucking BFF. It's not a good best friend to have.
I'm not a blood-sucking BFF.
No, you're a good BFF. The only thing you guzzle down is wine. And it's a good situation that we have here.
I think that's a really good attribute for a BFF.
If you were like, oh, I'm a great BFF, but I just drink a lot of blood, I'd be like, I don't think this will work. But you're like, I'm a good BFF. I drink a lot of wine. And I'm like, this will be great.
Yeah, I'll bring a bottle over. We can share.
I'm like, I'll get the cheese plate ready.
Okay. So back with Father Paul in his house, he's lying dead on the ground. Abruptly, he wakes up.
He gasps for freaking air.
Yeah, he does. The camera pans to this article that's on the wall in his house. This is the one that Miss Kern was looking at, or Bev was looking at. And it says it's renovations complete at St. Patrick's Church. Mm-hmm. And it has a picture of young Monsieur, which is Father Paul.
100%. Okay.
So it's, we got lots going on. So Bev knows what's going on.
She's put it together.
She has.
That Monsignor Pruitt has come back as a younger version of himself, which is Father Paul.
Yes.
What? But I'm thinking, like, okay, because the mayor checked his pulse. He was full on dead.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just gasped for air. And I'm like, why are you freaking everybody out like this? Why?
Did you know this was going to happen?
Couldn't you just, like, passed out and not died? Like, why are you freaking everybody out?
I don't know.
It's just more miracles I think they're witnessing.
What? Because I've watched the entire thing now. So now I'm like, well, why did he make such a big scene about it?
I don't know.
He wasn't going to die.
No.
I mean, everybody doesn't know that yet. But I mean, just saying.
Not at that time.
No.
I don't understand. It's like, okay, is it just another miracle?
Maybe.
To, like, lure them in?
Well, I guess because they'd never seen him die before. I don't know.
Whatever.
So that's episode 3.
That's it. Oh, God. We always end on cliffhangers.
The next one's going to have a cliffhanger, too.
Sure will.
Buckle up, guys.
All right, guys. Remember, watch episode 4. I mean, you can watch all of them, but we're going to talk about episode 4 next.
Yes.
And then we'll just go through the rest of them. But watch as many as you want, but definitely do 4.
4 we're doing next.
Yes. Listen to 4. And a couple quick reminders, tipsypod.com. Live at that website. Everything you need to know about our show is updated on that website. Everything. We've got episodes on there. We've got our merch on there, our Patreon. We have links to all of our social media. Everything you need to know is on that website. So just keep it open.
Tipsypod.com. Tipsypod.com.
Say it again.
Tipsypod.com.
Hell yeah. And watch Midnight Mass episode 4. And we'll see you guys next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Patreon. Oh my gosh, I think we harmonized. And has a cup of coffee waiting for him. Mm-hmm. A cup of coffee. A cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee.
A cup. Cup of coffee.
He's got a big bushy beard on his face.
There's a lot of Y's on all of these adjectives. A bitey.
Brady. Beardy.
Yeah.
I'm struggling with more.
They all end in Y. They need an E sound on the end of every word.